You're listening to Fakeologist Radio, fakeologist.com.
Good evening, Rick from Australia, or New Zealand. On Sunday, the 14th of the 8th, 2022. Now, I was going to, probably will talk a bit about Black Sabbath. Now, that may not seem like fakeology, but believe me, there's a lot of backstory that wasn't told to the public that I've been waiting to find out about. That, you know, I've always suspected it. I've been into that band since 1970s. And then when I got into the esoteric and the, you know, old end days stuff, I got more looking at record covers, and I was sure there was something, you know, behind that, or there was, you know, were they black magicians? Were they that? And I used to look at the record covers, and, you know, that Tony Iommi was an unusual name, I used to think. And because we didn't have the internet, there was no, I never saw Black Sabbath perform till the 80s, I guess, on TV, because they did not play that stuff on, it wasn't pushed like the Beatles. But it was a major, it was on the, you know, really did come out in the 1970s, right on the dot, right on the end of the decade, where they do their changes. It's just like the Buddy Holly and the Crickets and the Big Bopper, they crash. Did they really crash? I don't know. I haven't looked into that. But then all of a sudden the Beatles appear magically, pardon the pun, on the, 62. Probably 61. Right on target, though. Right on the dot. And then they imploded in 69, just the same year Mr. Adorno died, by coincidence. Now, that's another story. I won't go into that. But there's a big link in between the Beatles and Black Sabbath, be told. And I've been waiting for years to hear someone. I used to, you know, Mark Devlin did some good stuff, but he's into disco music and, rhythm and blues, and not rhythm and blues, he's into more soul music, so he doesn't love that kind of music. I do. So he didn't do a very good job, really, and he brought in a guy who supposedly was good, and he was hopeless. Sorry, but not as good as me, let me tell you, because I was a huge fan of Black Sabbath. And so the other day I was mystically guided on a strange walk, so I normally didn't do, and there what was sitting in a free bookcase was a book, Tony Iommi's book, Iron Man. So luckily I've been getting the train where I can sit and read, because I've got high-level ADD and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I can very rarely sit at home and sit down and read a book, but when you're on a train for 6 hours, guaranteed you can sit down and read a book. And I've finished two books in the last two journeys. Absolutely finished them. And read them from page one to the end, you know, which is very rare for me, let me tell you. But so Iommi and Black Sabbath came out in the 70s, but where the, I always thought was unusual, they were a blues band, and they formed in 68 as a blues band called Earth, right? And they didn't do very well. They used to dress up in weird things. Ozzy used to wear a pajama top with a tap, you know, faucet around his neck, not a white big cross that they mysteriously started wearing 2 years later. But they were a blues band. They had no interest in the occult, clearly, you know, and judging by Iommi's book, he was a, you know, son of a fruit shop owner. His mother and father owned a fruit shop in Aston, very rough part of Birmingham, and he's definitely a real, this guy was a tough guy, you know, he was a school bully after he got picked on, and he suddenly grew up and started doing weights and boxing. Him and his mate Albert were the terror of the school, and he was part of the Aston gang, which were a notorious bunch of troublemakers. He had a job in a mill of something like some kind of steelworks, and he came home one day because he was just over it. He wanted to be a musician, he said. I want to be a musician. His parents, of course, they didn't want him to be, you know, oh, Tony, please, you embarrass the family, Tony. But anyway, come home one day and he said, Mum, it's the last day, I'm not going back to work. And she goes, Tony, you have to do the armies, don't quit. They are not quitters. You have to go and go back and do the last day. So he went back to work for the last day and he got put on a press machine, which he'd never operated before. And he ended up accidentally pulling it down on his right hand. He's a left-handed guitarist. Like most best guitarists are left-handed. Don't ask me why that is. There's something about the left hemisphere that makes musicians incredible. Hendrix and etc. Beethoven. He cut the tops of all of his three of his fingers from his index finger down in a sharp line were amputated. And he thought he'll never be able to play guitar again. But the boss of the factory, and I knew the story. This is a very common story. And he has definitely got his fingers missing on the tops of his thing. His boss came around and said, look, don't give up on your musician dreams. Listen to this. And it was a famous Spanish guitarist who only had two fingers. I can't remember for this period of time, but he's a very famous musician. And so Tony then decided to keep playing. And he ended up having to get skin grafts on his fingers. He's got the tops of the bone were virtually still showing. So he made himself three thimbles, experimented for ages, and he got three thimbles, put the leather pieces of leather on the thimble, glued it on and stuck them on his fingers, and that allowed him to keep playing. So incredible story of, overcoming adversity and becoming so he also had to get restring the guitars and file down the frets, because he had to use, and he ended up coming up with the idea for a much lighter gauge guitar strings for anyone to music out there. He was definitely instrumental, pardon the pun, in coming up with very light gauge guitar strings. So he cannot pick up a normal guitar and play the stuff he plays. He needs a special guitar. Anyway, he ended up getting, someone spotted him and said, oh, you should go and recruit, Jethro Tull's needing a guitarist. So he went over there and he didn't think he'd get it, but he got it because he is very good. And then he decided he didn't like, because Jethro Tull's a very strange band to work for, because he was saying that if he went for lunch, Ian Anderson, who was the flute player main man, would sit by himself and the other band members weren't allowed to sit anywhere near him. And he just said, I can't handle that. And he quit. He did do a concert, the Rock and Roll Circus, which is the Rolling Stones and the Who and Eric Clapton and everything. Only just got released 10 years ago. The Rolling Stones hated it. So you can still see Tony Iommi playing for Jethro Tull in that clip. Anyway, mysteriously, quit this band. Next thing you know, they reformed Black Sabbath, The Earth. And this is where I think it's suspicious. All of a sudden, they come out with two songs. One was called Black Sabbath, and the other one was called Evil Woman. Wicked World. Now, if you're a blues band and you're into blues, you don't come up with something as heavy as sound, like the lyrics and sound. But they did, supposedly. And in his book, he said, little did I know that I had accidentally played the devil's chords, which were a famous, now you look into that in the 1700s, you were forbidden to play those chords. They were called the devil's chords. Now, what are the odds of him and Giza writing a song called Black Sabbath and the notes he was playing were in fact the devil's chords? Boom, boom, boom. Now I should be getting a music thing to put it with this, and I will do a proper one. This is just off the top of my head without looking at any notes before Ab comes on. But he, I find that too coincidental. He says that he has no idea that this is what he says. He goes, I believe we had a fifth, an invisible member that was giving us instructions, a fifth invisible entity that was giving us instructions. Who could that have been? Who could that have been? And then all of a sudden they changed their name to Black Sabbath. This is like, the hippie era was still going. But this nailed it on the head, be told. Now, What country did they go to and what club did they play in to hone their skills in Germany in 1969-70? The exact same one the Beatles did, the Star Club. I'm afraid that's a little bit too much of a coincidence for me. I am a conspiracy theorist. I mean, what are the odds? He's come up with the devil's chords. He's in Berlin, he was in Hamburg, at the same club, and where they ended up becoming bigger than the Beatles. They held bigger attendance records than the Beatles from 6 years, 7 years earlier. Coincidence? I don't think so. Today I noticed in Rolling Stone magazine, they were compared to, by Rolling Stone, the next most important band after the Beatles. Now, that's the Rolling Stone says that. They know shit, you know. So there's something that we weren't told. So basically, they are the nihilist change that happened. In America, it was Iggy and the Stooges and a number of other bands that all came out exactly at 69, 70, right on the end of the decade when they got to change the culture, culture creation. So this is story basically isn't psychologist, it's culture creation. But it's, we've been given fake stories, backstories, 100%. Then they get this manager. Sharon Osbourne's father, Don Arden, Jewish mafia, big time. He ruined the Small Faces career by controlling them and taking all their money, amongst other bands. He came to them and said, I want to manage you, by coincidence. And they said, no. We were a bit worried about him being a mafia figure. So this other guy called Tony Meehan, M-W-H-N. He came across and they said yes. So he's the one that took them to Berlin, I believe, to Hamburg. Excuse me, brain not working. And then what was their label that they signed to? The exact same one the Beatles were, Northern English Music, NEM, NEM. There'll be something in that, NEMs, guaranteed. I always thought there was. The logo, they were with Vertigo, which I think got bought out and owned by NEM. So they had the same record company as the Beatles. They went to the same club in Hamburg where they got their, where they told what to, you know, change your gear. Next thing you know, they've all got long hair, big crosses around their neck. Apparently Ozzy's father was the one that came up with that or made them the crosses. He admits, he said, we had no say in our record cover. So they were being controlled 100% because he does sound like a nice guy, tough as nails. I wouldn't like to cross him. Good fight scenes in the book too, be told. He's a brawler, big time. So NEM takes over. Their record company is run by the same one as the Beatles. Now, we know the Beatles were definitely a cultural creation, whether they were aware of it or not. I don't think they really were. Same with Sabbath. I think they were just willing dupes because they seem to be getting an awful lot of money. And Iommi, he met while he's at Meehan's studio, and he said Meehan was a friend of royalty. Now, this guy can't be just any just normal guy. And so he was the hung around peerage. So next thing you know, Iommi's going out with Lord Snowden's daughter or a Snowden. And they then got married and moved into a 200-room mansion that her parents were living in. So, I mean, this is a guy, son of a fruit shop owner, backstory. Next thing you know, he's marrying into peerage. Now, look, I'd find that hard to believe. You know, he's a good-looking bloke, and she might have been oh, Mommy, I want to marry him. He's so cute. She might have just been like that. I don't believe the elite peerage like the Snowdens, who are straight connected to the royal family, be told, would allow, you know, some musician that's had one record come out, next thing you know, he's married their daughter. And they loved him, apparently, you know, like allowed him to move into their house. 200-room mansion, old and haunted, and he goes on about seeing ghosts. He also got into astral travel, which is a bit dodgy, sitting there allowing entities to go into your head, apparently. Well, that's like meditation. Very similar. It can be a bit dangerous if you allow it. And what else? Then he's, they had a lot of money. I mean, he just said he'd ring up Sam Meehan and say, I want a Lamborghini, and Sam Meehan would buy it for him. So they were getting huge typical manager, just like dodgy Adorno and Arden. Interesting. Arden would is probably the controller because, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, you know, 10 years later gets married to Sharon Osbourne, and next thing you know, he's releasing hugely satanic type records, even though I really don't believe he knows the first thing about it, you know, apart from dressing up in a costume and having a laugh. He's not a Satanist. But anyway, when they first got to America, guess who was there to put a parade on for them? Anton LaVey. What a coincidence. Head of the Church of Satan in America. And he didn't seem to have a problem with that, Tony. He just said he was, you know, put on a big parade for them or something or other. It's a real, I trust him, but there's just some glaring. These guys were meant to bring out the nihilist, you know, which is, you know, go to Nietzsche, look into Nietzsche's writings on the subject. He was the expert on it. It's how to change society, is create a dysmorphic hate, dull, you know, everything's dull, anarchic, not anarchic, but like that kind of, you know, nihilist where you can't care about anything. That's the way to get rid of a Christian society and bring in a new science, a new religion. And that, guess what that religion was? Right on target, the religion of the white coat, which started creeping in the late 70s. In the 80s. So there, I'm going to go into way more detail on this band in a proper one. I'll get music added to it because it needs to be done. Guaranteed better than anyone else has done. I'm not bragging here. No one else has come up with this direct link that these guys were basically the second Beatles, but not as pushed into the mainstream. Big on concerts, big on live music. They changed the face of, they brought the heavy metal, it was them. The whole black magic, you know, the whole stick your fingers up in the air and all of this that's become, you know, like AC/DC pushed. A very suspicious band, very suspicious band. And not so much them, but their management recording system. I do believe there's something in the recording of this music and the atonal style of that music that creates, because I mean, I love that music, and you just want to sit around drinking and carrying on when you hear that music. It's got an excitable part of it. There's a very excitable tone to AC/DC, Black Sabbath, and good metal or heavy rock, and I love it. But I can see, and was kind of on the money back in the early 80s, that there was something more into their style. And if you read The Committee of 300 by John, what's his name? Can't remember his name. He says that he reckons that they take the master tapes and go and do some kind of satanic ceremony and prayer over the top of them. Wouldn't surprise me because they all seem to be into it. And what happened to him? He got dragged off and locked in a loony bin and he committed suicide. Funny that. And also, Tony Meehan, anyone that crossed him, one of them caught fire and died in his restaurant, as you do, catch fire in your restaurant. It's happened to me so many times. Another one fell off a boat and drowned, who was trying, you know, claimed he was a rip-off merchant. Black Sabbath ended up sacking him because he was ripping them off, as all managers do. You're all listening to Rick talking to him.
This is Jeff Sand, dude.
Laura Mars.
The Phoenician.
Julius Hercules.
Tom Galba. You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Sunday the, what did I say it was? The 14th of the 8th. 14th of the 8th, 2022. And I'm just here. I think Ab's going to turn up a bit later, but I've got to thank the people. I've been contacted by a number of people to say, you should be doing more of this stuff. You should be doing more of this stuff because we're not getting that from the Saturday Night Show, which I said to them, Saturday Night Show is purely for a laugh. Well, the first hour and a half when I'm on there, I just crash out after a while, but we're not there to put out heavy information. I'm not even going to try. But Sundays, I should be doing a regular thing as of very shortly, I would say, and add it on to me and Ab chatting or do it completely separate. But I've got a lot of subjects and I've got some big stuff, bigger than a lot of other people's big stuff, particularly with the great big holes in the Australian desert, a big link there I've got. But anyway, oh, someone's in the room. That's the clown-faced Mr. Psychologist Radio. How are you, man?
Good, good.
Hey.
How's the Black Sabbath special going?
Oh, no, I'm just, well, I just can't be bothered doing, reading the notes and stuff because I've taken notes and stuff. So I've just given it a gloss over. But be told that there is a huge link between them and being an organized operation, even though I don't think they were aware of it. But they were just like the Beatles, stage managed 100%. Yeah, and I found the links that directly tie them with an operation with it, like the Beatles. So it's a very interesting story, that's for sure. It's you know, we've been given a very fake history of rock and roll music. It was basically all organized, I'm afraid. I'm a big fan of rock music, but I'm not going to lose my love of the music. I just don't get involved with what you can just see that's an agenda behind all of it. If it got to the top 20, it was stage managed, guaranteed. I mean, the money that these guys were getting back in the day for just being a band that wasn't selling that many albums, and next thing you know, they're all buying Lamborghinis and mansions in England. You know, it's like Beatles were the same. Huge money.
Yeah.
And David Bowie,
how
same thing.
How much is real and how much is an illusion, though, I guess is the best question.
Well, just judging by their excesses and their amount of sports cars and what they've gone through, and you know, I've been a fan. You know, I've been reading what they got up to over the years, and they had lots of money. But they were getting ripped off by their manager every time. So what the manager's doing, what they do, is they give you the money. They don't tell you that it's coming off your album sales and your future album sales. So when you expect to be having millions of dollars in the bank because your album's number one around the world, you're getting a hand, but basically they give you a Lamborghini and a house worth £200,000. Well, they've made millions off you, and then they take the money and run, basically. And that's what happened with the Beatles. It did happen with the Beatles. They got ripped off, but certainly Black Sabbath got ripped off by the same guy. And then they
reemployed him. The time, even Elvis. The whole theme of the movie was that Colonel Tom Parker was a shyster and stole all the money. But truth be, if you watch the movie carefully, to me, without the manager, there would have been no star. It's a parasitical relationship.
That's right.
Guess what? The host wouldn't survive on its own anyway.
Yeah, that's what me and Tony Meehan, who was the manager of Black Sabbath, as he says in his book, Rob, he said we wouldn't have gone to America if it wasn't for him and become huge stars. They would have stayed in Birmingham. But the interesting thing is, last week they headlined the Commonwealth Games, so they're still a big entity of a huge thing. I mean, but of all bands to have closing a sports ceremony, Black Sabbath, you know, they're not the very sporty. They're more drugs and excess than sport and recreation. But of course, if you listen to the symbology of those closing and opening ceremonies, they were totally done on certain nights. They were all full of imagery of the bull, which is interesting in itself because, you know, the bull is an ox, you know, because we're in the Chinese year of the ox, O-X. O-X is a symbol for the Antichrist, just by coincidence.
Yeah. And the official story is always that the bands are ripped off and the guys don't get what they deserve. But what if they're just actors and they don't write the music, they say they're given attribution, but what if they're just placeholders and the corporation is the one that supplies all the resources, the music?
Absolutely. No. That's what I said. So they had Black Sabbath had no say in their album
Yeah.
And he said, "What's the trouble?" And he said, "We had no say in that." So it's the management and the what they call Tavistock's cultural creation. They are running the bands. They've just got four, as they were described, bricklayers on acid. You know, working class blokes. They had no idea what was going on, but they just all of a sudden they had Lamborghinis and money in the bank, and they were probably told, "Sing this, jump around like this, say this." So yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So maybe
yeah.
they didn't yeah. get all yeah. the money because they were just actors and they don't deserve yeah. all the money. The corporation's the one that's doing the whole thing, and maybe that's just a line to explain why they're not excessively rich.
Well, that's right. Now, this has taken me years to get to where I've got because yeah. I've been researching them for years. And if it wasn't me finding this book last Friday night, just going on a walk, right. it was sitting there in a bookshop waiting for me. It had all the answers I needed. That so many other podcasts have gone on about this, but none of them have come up with it. I just came up with the direct links. Same record company. They went to Germany to the same club the Beatles went to and rehearsed, the Hamburg Star Club. They had that same record company as the Beatles, Brian Epstein had started his company, NEMS, when he mysteriously committed suicide. I'd say he was terminated because he wasn't playing the game, and they brought someone else in to take over the Beatles after 63 or 64 or whatever it was when he died. Yeah, there's big connections with that whole Beatles, fake Beatles, and now it's Black Sabbath. And Rolling Stone said that Black Sabbath were as big as influences as the Beatles ever were. That's what they call them. And Rolling Stone knows what they're talking about, you know. That so there's a big there. Guaranteed, but anyway, I'll go into more depth. There's a whole lot more. It's incredible. And the fact he married almost a royal family member 2 years after they started, you know, and was living in a 200-room mansion in England, says to me they were controlled and players for sure, yeah. you know. You just don't marry a royal family.
Was it a positive influence on the people, or
Well, I'll say this: a lot of Christians became, because if you listen to the lyrics of their songs, they're actually very positive and more positive. They're not at all. Oh yeah, they're very positive. You know, particularly they're kind of saying like their song "Lord of This World." You know, saying that the devil's the owner of the world, and there's a lot of positive lyrics in those lyrics, but And if you listen to them, you can see, you know, and I did, and I think they were more Christian than not Christian, but their imagery, right. particularly when they formed in the 80s and they got Dio in charge, and he knew his shit for sure. Then they became, every album was all about, you know, Satan and black magic and Satan and this, and how, you know, we sold our souls for rock and roll was one of their greatest hits albums. You know, they really did push the satanic agenda and nihilism. You know what I mean? The whole, you know, everything's bad. We need to move, you know, go with destroy what we've got and destroy religion. Religion's bad. And next thing you know, we've got another religion, and that's the religion of science. That's definitely the new religion, the scientific religion that people have got now. Yeah, they believe the white coats. Yeah. So that was part of that. So that's what they helped do for sure.
Oh, okay. Guaranteed.
Yeah. So there's
break that
whether they knew
Christian
it or not.
Bond, that strong Christian.
Yeah, and the family in excess. You know, drink too much, drugs. You know, and it fed. Yeah. And then the punk movement came in. You know, 7 years later or 8 years later, there was punk anarchy. You know, and they stole the word anarchy and turned it into a troublemaking
negative
name. We're in actual fact. Yeah, well, as we know, anarchy is a good thing. It's, you know, it's government without, people's government and no government.
Well, or no
people
government.
Run the show.
Yeah.
No government.
Yeah, really,
no
organized government.
So,
yeah.
So the Sex Pistols, another organized band, a guaranteed organized band. They won't ever admit that, but they were. So, you know, all the biggest bands, particularly out of England in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, were run by Tavistock. 100%. What was the name of the guy that wrote Committee of 300? I was trying to remember his name.
John Coleman.
John Coleman, yeah.
Coleman.
Yeah, I I actually trust his that book. I think it has a lot of accuracy in it, and the fact he got locked in, he got committed to a loony bin and committed suicide, allegedly.
He did? I didn't know that.
Yep. Yeah, he met a tragic end. Tragic end. And you've listened to some of his speeches. You can still find him online. He was pretty much nailing everything on the nose with his was he South African? I'm not sure. I think he might have been.
Yeah.
And he did have a connection with the intelligence agencies. I believe he might have been a whistleblower, possibly. Because that's very out there. If you read Committee of 300, I mean, that is really out there, what he's saying in that book back in that, when it first came out in the 80s. I remember reading that, go, wow, all this satanic agenda and intelligence agencies have a satanic agenda, da 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 da. Well, sadly, if you ask me now, do they? I say, yeah, they do. There seems to be a real coincidental. That's the fact that all these operations they do are on certain days, and they pick the same dates, and they love the numbers to be pushed in front of our face.
Just give me a sec, Rick.
Yeah, all good. Just off-handed too, I've always looked at IOMI as the name. I thought, something unusual about that. And the manager, the producers that were brought in, they had no, the producers, the sound recorders, one was called Tom Alom. And I remember looking at that in the 80s, thinking there's something there. Well, the only thing I can think of, I thought of tonight, is IOMI. If you look at it digitally, or Kabbalah, and use O as a zero, it's basically a symbol, the two I on each end and the two M's in the middle. And that's a powerful, very powerful symbol. Like the word civic, if you look at the word civic, which is a very Masonic name, civic, C-I-V-I-C, that is a symbol. It's not a word. It's basically the two pillars, using the 33 on each side, C. In between it, it's the two I's, and right in the center is a V. And in the city, in Sydney, the Civic Hotel, one of my favorites and a very nostalgic hotel, they've actually, for their logo, and it's attached to the giant Masonic building of Sydney, huge, huge concrete tower with number 66 Goulburn Street. 66, way powerful number. I mean, you've got to look into 66 and the deep mystical meanings of that number. Civic is spelt, they've got it, the two C's, the two I's, and the big V in the middle. So they're actually telling you there, it is not a word, it's a symbol. Civic is not a word, it is a symbol. It's a sigil. Not a sigil, but possibly a bit of a sigil. They know the meaning of it, and it's basically the power. So you got the horns in the center, the V, the CC, 33 on each end, and the two Masonic, the twin towers, Joachim and Boaz, in the middle. And IOMI is basically the two I's with the two M's, which is a very powerful symbol. Twin, it's like, McDonald's and all those other symbols. Freeman Fly didn't pick this up. He hasn't picked this up as far as I'm aware, but he should have. Maybe he has. I haven't actually delved in all stuff, but he's probably the best out there alive right now that knows about these symbols. And the IOMI, if you remove zero as a doesn't exist and look at the rest. Now, is that just a coincidence? It could be. I don't know, but it's certainly very powerful. And the fact they closed the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, because they are Birmingham's favourite band, Birmingham's the home of heavy metal. And they reckon it's due to the fact all the metal factories and everyone, you walk to school and you hear this chink, chink, bang, chink, chink, the metals pressing back in the days before Birmingham turned into a city with probably no manufacturing. Interesting. So now he's gone, sadly, Benoit, and hopefully Benoit and Skylark can
living together one day
happily.
Oh, are they? Yeah, I was in Switzerland.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. She's a great chick. She's a great chick, and it was all, you know, I understand this thing, and look, I totally agree with.
I don't.
His issues. Oh well, I do because after he turned back up again, that strange person from Bolivia, and
Gaia's
when I found
Colombia.
Out, you know, Colombia, whatever, same thing, Colombia, Bolivia, within 1,000 miles of each other. He's a money man operation. You know, he's turned into one anyway, whether he likes it or not.
Oh, the guy's as broke as a spoke. Come on.
Well, when I heard one of the moderators, I won't say her name, had been donating money, and when he had started attacking her online, and she said, oh, it's because I've stopped giving him money, I thought, that's not very nice. That's not very nice.
Well, that sucks, yes. That's bad behavior. That doesn't mean...
Yeah, and he was really nasty. I mean, he was really nasty. He's a business operation to an extent.
Yeah, but he's
but
really...
He did a lot of
he's a business operation, he's not good. He's broke. Mm. Probably is broke.
Now, speaking of which, I haven't listened to it. Tiago and An Ounce of Salt.
Yesterday we got 3 audios out of yesterday, so we'll have to wait till...
You're listening to Rick and Ab. Rick and Ab after...
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support. Money.
And we're back.
Rick and Ab on Sunday, the 14th of the 8th, 2022. And that's the next band I'm going to do is Pink Floyd. There's another band, 100%. A lot of mysterious stuff about that band. And Alan Parsons is another one. You use Alan Parsons' music in one of your...
Yeah, love them. And wasn't he a producer for Pink Floyd? Whoever that
he
guy
was.
Alan Parsons? Is there an Alan Parsons, or is that just the name of the band?
Alan Parsons Project. It's the name of...
Named Alan Parsons or no?
Yes. He was one of the young producers at Abbey Road Studios that did the production for probably the Beatles and Pink Floyd. Now, Abbey Road, it's built on an old abbey. This guaranteed something. There'll be something sinister about Abbey Road. I haven't looked into it. I will. And Pink Floyd, I've just read a book on Pink Floyd. Full of interesting coincidences. Full of interesting coincidences, guaranteed. Good band, of course. Well, one of the best.
Oh my god, Dad. Yeah, David Gilmour.
Here's another one. Guess whose manager ripped them all off that? Apparently they were broke when The Wall came out, and they had no money whatsoever. The exact same story. Biggest album ever in history, Dark Side of the Moon, and they were broke 7 years later. Mm. Broke. And so The Wall, though, made them so much money, and then their live concerts and you know, I mean, The Wall is, and I do agree, the last best album ever produced out of that, you know, rock was...
I remember when that came out, it was just such a big deal.
It's so perfect. And then they bring in... another suspicious man, you know, from the Boomtown Rats, the guy that ran the Live Aid, Bob Geldof, the movie, the movie The Wall, he plays Pink, the hero, the protagonist, Pink, who he shaves his eyebrows off, and you know, and he did a really good role. That movie still holds its own. Someone needs to redo that though. Oh, look, you'll love it. It's fantastic. And Gerald Scarfe, the animator from the 70s, 60s, 70s and 80s, he did the drawings and the animation for it. So I highly recommend you watch that movie this week because you'll really love it.
You should watch it today.
Yeah, do yourself a favor.
Has it got all the pink music in it, or what?
It's a full soundtrack to The Wall. To a movie. Yeah. And Geldof does a very good role as a, you know, he doesn't need to act through it. He just needs to kind of get up and do his, you know, jump around like a normal stage musician. And there's another guy. I mean, look at Geldof. His very first, you know, I Don't Like Mondays, Silicon Chip Inside a Brain, you know, pushing this whole MK Ultra narrative to mainstream radio. I Don't Like Mondays about a school shooting. You know, you can see where the agenda was way back when, you know. And Geldof just happens to be the guy that they employ for The Wall. He's never acted since, as far as I'm, as far as I know.
Interesting.
Again, highly recommend that movie. And it's a stoner's movie. I mean, I'm not a stoner, but you know, it's the kind of movie if you were stoned would be great, because it's the imagery Gerald Scarfe does, and I would compare Gerald Scarfe to Terry Gilliam from Monty Python. Another backstory there, guaranteed. New York animator comes out and joins and forms Monty Python, which very Beatlish type of coincidences, and they became friends with the Beatles, and the Beatles financed their movies, and so there's all these direct links to organized operations, be it Pink Floyd, be it the Beatles, be it Black Sabbath. It seems to be coming out of England. I don't see it in America at all. Maybe there's some, but the world changing music all comes out of England via Tavistock.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's going right back. Beatles. America takes the cake for. And the Stones basically were a operation to promote smoking and drugs and alcohol. That's all they seem to be pushing. And I know so many people that aren't around anymore that really did think Keith Richards, you know, if he can do it, I can do it. I'll drink and smoke. And take as much drugs as possible, and they're all dead. I've been on about this. I don't believe Keith Richards took the. I think Rollo does more and has done more than Keith Richards has ever done. He might say he's the imagery of the Rolling Stones is, you know, Mick Jagger, you know, talking like, he puts it, you know, this is the way he taught on interviews. And when you find out the guy went to the London School of Economics and has a degree in economics, same with Zachary and Stitcher, or whatever his name is, that wrote that UFO book, Communion, he went to the same college. All of these guys that we thought were rock and roll stars, and they were all highly educated. Even the rap stars, like NWA.
They're influencers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Look at Rollo's been playing NWA, that, you know, niggas with attitude or whatever they call themselves.
Yeah.
Their backstory off the streets of Compton, you know, no. Private school educated, at least two of them went to private school. Ice Cube, private school. Never ran the streets, you know. You'll know if they ran the streets, they're probably dead now, you know what I mean? Because those streets are real. There's no doubt about that, you know. We know now that. So a band like the Bee Gees, right? Now there's a coincidence. When Black Sabbath went to America, they moved into the house owned by DuPont, John DuPont, like the richest people on the planet. And DuPont was a very close friend to this Tony Meehan, their manager, who's friends with the royal family as well. So this guy's a player. The Bee Gees just happened to have all their houses in Miami, where the cocaine was all coming from and being distributed, you know, or was a huge cocaine town. Their biggest album was Saturday Night Fever. They do say that Saturday Night Fever was a cocaine advert, that, you know, the whole disco and snorting coke. Yeah. And there's a big link that the Bee Gees, you know, Barry Gibb and all the Gibbs lived in Miami, and Florida, Miami is, sorry, so Floridians, Black Sabbath just happened to rent the houses of the Bee Gees when they went to move to Florida, to Miami. So I'm telling you, it's just one connection after the other of the drug culture, alcohol culture, smoking cigarettes and pot has all come from these British bands that have gone to America, spread their poison via their music. And that, so Bee Gees is a cocaine operation. Black Sabbath was, you know, cocaine, drugs, whatever. It's a fact. But look, I'm 100% on, I do believe I'm right what I'm saying here, that the Bee Gees was nothing but pushing cocaine back in, because Andy Gibb died of a heart attack after snorting so much cocaine, you know.
And then Maurice maybe had the drug problem or something.
They all did, but they were, all their mansions that they got given, you know, when Saturday Night Fever became the biggest selling album on the planet ever, you know, you had John Travolta, Scientologist, that goes straight, you connect the Scientologist with who I've been going on about, L. Ron Hubbard and OTO. Basically, if you combine OTO and you've got the same Scientologists are basically an OTO shoot, and then you've got Tom Cruise, biggest movie on the planet right now, Maverick, and pushing the war.
Is it really? Oh yeah,
it's made huge amounts of money. Yeah, obviously, I'd say 911 million. On, is it 9.11 billion?
Yeah, it's shooting for 9/11. Yeah, point. That's funny.
Guaranteed, 100%. I hate being right, but I am right. There's you can just tell by their figures that they drop. You know. Yeah, well, you just keep look. I'm a coincidence theorist as well. I mean, I keep seeing, you know, the same numbers keep popping up, and then you go, well, that can't just happen. But it does just we'll put it this way, how I found that book on Black Sabbath or Tony Iommi, which has given me all these insights into Bee Gees and every other band. I never would have gone for this walk, but for some reason I decided to walk a different direction, and I found the book sitting there in a free library.
It was waiting for your record.
Yeah, so there was no conspiracy there. I just went with my instinct. And Tony Iommi claims that he said we're being given, it's like he said, it's like we've got a fifth invisible member pushing us in the directions we go. Now, whether he's being honest or he's just saying, yeah, someone's guiding us and it's our manager, and it sounds like it is.
They ain't invisible.
I don't know.
They're invisible to the public, but not to them. They're well known.
So he's being honest and saying there is another person that's guiding us and it's not us.
Yeah, how many times do these stars always give these little clues, like Bob Dylan gives the clue, I made the deal with the devil there.
He did, and he did say that. And, you know, the good thing, Alan Watt, who was obviously quite a good musician, he has been on about Bob Dylan being a completely manufactured star from the earliest shows he did. 2006, 2007. He
said
that he faked his accent. You know, he changed his name from Zimmerman to Dylan. You know, as a tribute to Dylan Thomas, I would guess, the Welsh poet. Yeah. His name was Zimmerman, and next thing you know, he's writing. And just listen to those lyrics of those songs. You know, the times rather change. The times they are a changing. They were guiding the change of this, you know, decade into a, you know, telling the parents to shut their face, and the children know the truth, and blowing in the wind. All this, he reckons that Alan Watt says he didn't write any of those songs. Now I believe that totally, because they also, the interesting thing with Bob Dylan, whether they swapped him out or whatever, but his voice, the original voice that sang those songs, changed dramatically after he. The backstory is he had a motorbike accident and hurt his throat, and his voice changed. That's the actual story. Yeah. So Bob Dylan's Bob Dylan motorcycle accident, and because the next thing you know, he's putting out completely different music. and electric music after.
Maybe it's because the first music didn't catch on.
Well, it did. Well, no, it did. But then he went a different direction and went, you know, went from folk to electric and brought in, and that for the pure folk music types, they hated electric guitars and anything electric. They wanted it to be, you know, all, you know, strumming guitars and lutes and whatever they normally play. But so he revolutionized folk music. Again, guaranteed, 100%, totally stage managed, and he probably didn't write half as good songs. I do believe he is a good songwriter, and he has been doing some interesting stuff since. But his very first stuff, Alan Watt is absolutely on the money when he said that he didn't write those songs. They were too perfect for the day, you know. You know, come, what was the song, Times They Are Changing, particularly? That's very powerful, that song. Listen to the lyrics of that song. Maybe we'll play it at the end of the show. Yeah, there you go. Times They Are Changing. That's a good idea. Has he gone to deliver toilet paper? Probably has. Re-Bob Dylan. I do think one of his last best songs ever did was Joker Man off the album. I think it came out about 82 or so, 81, 82. Joker Man, what a great song. What a great song. Ever listen to that? Lyrics in that song. He's definitely got some... inside knowledge, that man. And still alive. And believe it or not, keen boxer. He has a boxing ring in the back of his house. And he loves sparring. It's like him and Tony Iommi get on a house on fire. Tony Iommi, big time boxer. So Bob Dylan, a boxing enthusiast. Can you believe it? Yes, I can.
No.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about the guy. I don't like his music. So I don't even pay attention to him.
Oh, I'm not a huge fan. Oh, yeah. Well, no, I liked Joker Man, his last best song. And maybe we'll play that at the end of this show. I'll send a link to it. Yeah. Joker Man. I was going to play Time They Are Changing, but I think that's everyone's heard that before. But Joker Man's very good, very good song.
Okay. Yeah, I think I know it.
Anyway.
Did anyone else sing that song?
No way. And it's funny because, you know, Joker and the whole imagery between that's going on now with Joker and Batman and Robin, the Joker movie, that is straight out nihilism. That is, Joker is a face for the new nihilist movement, for sure. You know, that's straight out of Nietzsche, the nihilist of the, is it 17th or 18th century? I can't remember which. Very interesting, but they have to destroy to bring their new world government or their new governments, and they have to destroy the previous one. And nihilism is the way to do it, and it's destroy the youth's aspirations, their family aspirations, and just, you know, create this doom mentality. And Black Sabbath were doom rock for sure, 100%. The sounds,
are they all taking the vaccine? Must be.
Who knows?
There must be instruments of that.
Well, to be honest, I haven't heard. The only people I've heard speaking out against vaccines were Eric Clapton and the Irish musician who's certainly the best out there, you know, ex the Zombies. What's his name? Can't remember his name.
Van Morrison.
Van Morrison, 80s, in his 80s, and still putting out more cutting music than any 20-year-old group of 80? Musicians are doing.
God.
Oh, he'd have to be at least getting on towards 80, I would say, because his biggest hit, Gloria, from the Zombies, came out in 1964.
That was the Zombies? I was born. Are you sure he was the Zombies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, oh, yeah. That was Rob, somebody else in the Zombies.
No, Rob. That's Rob Zombie, the Rollo was playing. But yeah, the Van Morrison's first band out of Ireland, or probably Northern Ireland, was the Zombies, and Gloria, and a lot of good songs. Great guy. I didn't like him because I thought he lived in Switzerland. It was a multimillionaire, and there he is writing songs about how tough it was to, you know, get the morning flight from Zurich to, you know, his version of the blues was getting a late flight to first class from Zurich to Amsterdam or whatever, you know. And I could hardly feel sorry for a guy that's living in Switzerland. And, you know, it wasn't the kind of raw blues I prefer to listen to. But now he is, I kid you not, putting out the most cutting edge anti-lockdown. And one of his latest ones was, you know, how, you don't forget what they did, you know, because they did fuck us up big time 2 years ago. And people have forgotten about that very quickly, about how much these lockdowns have destroyed small
businesses. Wait, the zombies have Rod Argent and Colin Blunstone. Are you sure?
No. Oh,
she's not there.
After she's the break, hang on a minute. Rick and Roll.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
We're back.
You're listening.
We're trying to figure out.
Who was Van Morrison's first band?
Van Morrison was in Brown Eyed Girl.
That was him solo. That was him solo, I believe.
That was some good stuff.
Oh, he's done some good stuff. But what I'm saying, though, his latest album or music is really saying he's like the media bear of old people. You know, he's putting out original music that's kind of questioning, saying don't forget what happened. You know, like we've been ripped off and we've been lied to. He's still alive, so no one's killed him yet.
Not. Yeah, he won't die. What about we were talking about Anne Heche? Frank and I were saying
the lesbian.
She'll come back as somebody else.
Who's Anne Heche? That was the girl. That was the. Should she die?
Well, the story was she drove her. Yeah, she drove her car right into some house, missed a T junction, and then went into a coma for a week, and then she died.
Hey, get this, Ed. This down the road from me, I got home on the train yesterday, and I got home, and a mate of mine came around. This guy knows more than me on the subject I'm discussing.
Really?
We're having some great conversation. Oh, yeah. Anyway, he said to me, he goes, did you see the accident? He goes, so a car has driven past my house at least 80 kilometers an hour. Instead, there's a curve where you turn to go on a bridge. Instead of turning that curve, went straight through the barrier, it ripped the top of its roof off and was rolled down a hill. Now, I drive that road all the time. So this car, if you were coming around that corner at that same time, you would have been history. And it's inexplicable how someone could be that stupid to drive, instead of turning a curve, straight through. I think so, Ab. You could be on the money there. And I am a conspiracy theorist, be told.
That's no conspiracy. Anyone that blacks out or
I've seen so many of those. I have to say, and you know that I drive a lot, like you. I have seen some very strange accident scenes driving.
They were saying that the vaccine, because it causes blood clots all over the place, maybe the muscle that you use to brake doesn't work for that second that you want to hit the brake and then goodbye, Charlie.
Well, there's no what I saw is the same as what I've seen on the truck crashes on the here we go. His first band was the Sputniks. Can you believe that? Sputniks.
Yeah. Out of Moscow. What a
coincidence. Yeah. The Sputniks.
So that promotes the first Russian rocket. Wasn't that the first one that was supposed to have gone to space?
Sputnik.
They name everything Sputnik. What does it mean? Space in Russian or something?
I think so, yeah. And have you ever seen a good friend of mine, right? Very good friend of mine, the rocketeer friend of mine that holds the highest non-manned rocket flight from New Zealand up in into the sky. He flies big, you know, he's a proper rocket person. He built a full-size replica of Sputnik and had it on his balcony when you and it made a beeping noise when you walked down the driveway. And he actually had the recording of Sputnik, the beep, 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 the exact same Sputnik.
A full-size replica? How big is that?
Yes. No, not very big, Ab. You could pick it up in your hands. And somehow people could see that from Earth. And it's like about three soccer balls wide and it's not very big, put it that way. And
they said they launched?
Yeah, Sputnik was the very first satellite, I do believe, and it was making little beeping noises. That was 61, 62, or was it 50? It was in the 50s.
And they said could see that from Earth. You wouldn't be able to see it across the street.
No. You couldn't, well, maybe not across the street, but you couldn't see it a mile away, be told.
No.
So, that was another thing that really made me go, hang on a minute. Oh, them. They were called them. Band them with the them he recorded
never
Gloria. Okay. How could I fuck that up so badly?
I never heard of them.
I've made a few mistakes then because I've been saying that his first band was the Zombies for about a year now.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't sure what you're saying. I never heard of them. Them is the name of a band?
Yeah. Well, they got the Who. We can make a good joke up here. The Who. And you'd say, I said them. And I'd say, no, the Who. No, them. Yeah, right, we could do the who's on first. We could do the fakeologist who's on first. So his first band was them, and you could say who, and I'll say no, them.
Right.
Dear, oh dear, I can't believe I fucking stuffed that one up. Not them.
Yeah. Well, I know the Zombies because I like a lot of their music, of course. And
well, Rod Argent did a great song. And he ended up in a band called Argent, and he was something to do with the Straubs, I do believe as well. I think, not sure, but Argent, that Hold Your Head Up song that got covered by a number of artists.
That was good.
And in that band, and interestingly, in that band, Argent, there's a guy that's written some of the best songs for Kiss. Some of the biggest songs you've ever heard are all written by this one particular guy. Who's a British songwriter. Can't remember his name, and this song's awesome. I'll find that and send it to you because you'll really love this song. And this particular guy, English musician, has written so many songs you think, that's a Kiss song or that's a song by Boston or whatever. It was all the same songwriter the whole time. I'll find it and I will send it. So how's Canada going? I haven't been listening to any overseas news or doom news whatsoever.
I would say nothing is happening right now, as far as I know. I'm trying to get a guy on the show that lives around the corner from me that challenged the federal government to their no travel without a vaccine from last year. Now, that's been rescinded for now, but he won the court case or the court case is ongoing, and the disclosure was saying that the people that decided that you needed a vaccine to travel, they had nothing to do with the medical business. It was just obviously purely Klaus Schwab and you shall not fly and eat the bugs. And so he just showed how that emperor has absolutely no clothing.
That's an ongoing
thing. And I want him on because he wants money to raise for the court. Got to pay for the lawyer. It seems crazy that an individual has to do all this, but he's doing it, him and another British-based guy that lives here. So that's interesting. But other than that, it's the summer, so not much is happening. It seems like a lot of the employers, mostly public, that wanted the vaccine are dropping that, but not all of them. It just seems to be a steady flow of them, though. But the healthcare in Ontario, where I live, The premier said that he's not going to require healthcare workers to get vaccinated. He'll leave it up to the hospitals. And well, it seems like most
Yeah, so there's a huge shortage of hospital workers.
5%. Yeah, because they won't hire back the unvaccinated. That's what I get.
Same here.
But it's get to decide their own policy, which is crazy. Why should they decide? It doesn't make sense. But that was the plan all along, to give it to individual institutions and private corporations. Let them decide. Let them decide if they want to discriminate.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening. Yeah. So, yeah, our healthcare system is just as sick as it was before COVID.
Yeah, it's breaking down here as well, 100%. And
it's meant to.
Oh, yeah, they're making you jump through hoops for just a common operation now.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to jump through literal hoops and do all these tests. They really are, and maybe it's to do with the vaccine. They're worried about you being under anesthetic with a weakened heart, because my father's going in for a knee operation with his crazy wife, getting the same operation that she doesn't need. He's needed this operation for 20 years, but he was telling me he's had to go in for like 3 blood tests, heart and stress tests, like just going in for a knee operation. You know, you've got to jump through hoops and pass all these tests. So they're obviously concerned about people dying under the knife when they're under anesthetic. So there could be a there
probably
with
were
the vaccine.
Probably were before, though. I'm not sure that's something new, but
well, I've had hernia. This is years ago. I've had my knee operated, like a major reattachment of all the ligaments. Major operation. There was no blood test, no stress test, no nothing. I just went straight in and had it done.
Yeah. All right.
But now they seem to be really concerned, guaranteed, about doing all these extreme tests. So there's something going on. And that means that there's got to be people
that,
to do
there's
the
test. Nothing really happening in Canada that I can tell you that I can see or hear, or it's not calm.
I've just been.
Who knows what September brings? I just hope my daughter can get in the university and not have to be thrown out for not getting the vaccine. Because she would do it for sure. She would do it. She already missed 1 year.
I've already got two. Well, I'll tell you. You know, I told you last week. My daughter snuck back into. Was it last week or the week before? Might have been last week. Week before last, my daughter flew back and surprised me. She came back for her mother's and her brother's birthdays, which were on the same day. And she looked fantastic, but she was, she's vaping now.
Oh no!
What can you do? She's tough, isn't she? You know, she was a champion lifesaver. Like
she shouldn't be vaping. What's wrong with her?
No, because that's what they're all into. Because it's like, listen, vaping.
You know,
is
worse
it's worse
than smoking, probably.
I had a puff on someone's vape, my sister's, a couple of weeks ago, and it nearly tore my fucking throat out. And I went, whoa, you know, like, and so these are strawberry flavored. Peach flavored, all these wonderful flavors that you can do it anywhere you want. You can sit in your room and puff away on these things and no one can smell it. It's like the best thing since sliced bread for a rebellious teen. And she was saying she was doing it when she was living with us. And I went, really? Wow. Like, I never picked up on that. I wouldn't have thought that, but yes, she was. And she's coughing and spluttering and, you know, she goes, I had a really bad flu. Really bad flu, and she's getting over. And I had the same thing, but I'm not coughing and spluttering whatsoever. And there's her, 20 years of age, you know, month off 2021. And she said all her friends are doing it. It's just, you know, she wanted to meet it when we drove down to the city. We went for a drink at a pub, which is wonderful to go with your daughter and have a couple of Guinnesses at a pub. Because she is a really, really, really nice girl. You know, she's got,
yeah,
she's been, yeah, she's got a good temperament. I think she's luckily got mine, you know, way more easygoing than someone else's. And she's a good employee. All the people that she works for love her. She's got a good temperament, but they all want to, you know, the vaping and drinking and probably other things. It's all there for them, you know. And what can you do? I can't say, you know, if you listen to any of the Rick and Rollo shows, me carrying on about someone drinking and smoking, I'd look like an absolute imbecile, you know, because you've got one of the biggest drinkers on the planet and drug takers on the planet. Not me, but, you know, chatting away. I have to say this, changing the subject, he was very good. Don't you notice Rollo not on the vodka, how good he was last night, just drinking a champagne?
And I think he went back on as soon as you left.
Yes, he did, yeah. Yeah, that would be right. But he was good up until then.
Yeah, it was strange.
Up until then.
It was quite strange.
Well, he was telling Velocet to calm down. He was saying, Velocet, you need to calm down. Chill.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Isn't that ironic, huh? The opposite of what should be. Just give me a sec, Rick.
No worries, man. Sunday, the 14th of the 8th, 2022, and we're just waiting for Ab to do his stuff and pop back in again on the live stream. And anyone that's been listening to...
We're back.
Oh, good. Yeah. So I haven't listened. Well, someone hasn't published the Rick and Roller because I do believe...
We haven't published it. I don't think Velocet wants to cut himself out.
I thought Velocet might have wanted to cut himself out. Cut himself out because he got very.
Oh yeah,
He was
so
very
we got
animated.
Three audios from yesterday. So you're gonna have a full plate for yourself next week if you want to listen.
So there was you and Boogeyman, I believe.
Okay. We had Boogeyman and Frank had a one-on-one for about an hour. It was good. Frank was in great form.
Tell me a time where he hasn't been in good form. He's always in good form.
Yeah. Living Man was in there, of course, the whole time with his clips. And
excellent.
So we talked to him for quite a while. And then in the afternoon, well, maybe 9 hours later, Frank and Boogeyman came back for another round.
Wow.
And then Linda came in, and then Just a Gal for a second.
Fantastic.
And,
the vivacious Cuban from Florida. Yeah.
It was very busy on the audio. This Boogeyman has really stoked a fire, which controversial people
the only bad thing I can say about him turning up is that we've lost Fast Value, who was a very good contributor over the last, you know, many years.
Yeah, yeah. I hate to lose anybody, but it's their choice.
Hmm. Yeah, they press the button.
Do you think he'll be back?
Oh, I've no idea, but it's good to see Russ is back, the great Russ. Now, speaking of Russ, I've sent you an awesome song to to play when we finish.
All right.
It almost sounds to me too. It's like a
train. You ought to do this.
I'm not very good at this. Sorry, Ab. I'm not very good at this. But anyway, if you can
do it.
No.
I can't even be a moderator.
Yeah. You're listening to Rick and Ab.
We have to.
After the break.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Chris 746 from Toronto, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Thanks,
good
on Chris. You, Chris.
Good on you, mate.
Good on you, mate. Good on you. He's not bad.
We got Frank as a moderator now, so. We could reduce the role.
That was my suggestion. I thought Frank and Linda. So Linda's actually come back. Apparently she got kicked off. Must have been another. She probably had a moderator role.
No, she changed her email.
Right.
So She didn't have to change her name, though. You could be Linda Curtis number 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or
Linda
9 or 10.
I'll give it Linda Curtis 33.
Yeah, but Discord creates a number after your name, so that's why you can have a million duplicates. That's why we do have verification, because anyone could just come in as esoteric, and we wouldn't know, because anyone can use the name. It's not unique on the server.
I don't even like using that name, but it was. I just did it. You know, at first it was exoteric, but the X, EX.
Yeah.
But that was because I'd started a profile with esoteric and then accidentally joined this, and that said, you've already used that name. So then I put exoteric, which is, you know, the opposite of esoteric.
Yeah, usually you can use the same name, though.
Mm, well, I couldn't, and so I changed that. But I prefer my
name. Yeah.
I prefer to say, you know, Rick. Yeah, I prefer Rick.
Yeah, it is strange. That is strange that you got that message. I have to check that, but it doesn't matter.
Mm.
It's just Discord.
I have to tell you this.
Yeah.
Good.
Go ahead.
No, my latest pain in the ass thing is I've got a Hyundai iLoad van, and it's all electronic, you know. So even the button that you press to open up your petrol to fill up with diesel, last week or the week before, I noticed I was pressing it a few times and it wasn't operating. Now, today, I could not open it whatsoever. So it's either the button is worn and there's no connection, you know, between me pressing the button, but
yeah,
I've had to manually force the thing. What did you do? Replace the button?
I've got the same button. And I guess you're right. Oh. It is electronic. There's no cable. So, yeah, how do you get that stupid thing open? Yeah.
Well,
I wouldn't know. Well, I guess you have to pry it open and wreck it. So.
Well, I did. And I haven't wrecked it, but I did pry it open to put diesel in because I was down to I was empty almost, which I don't like doing driving around anything.
That you got to break it to get in.
It's just so typical of all modern vehicles.
I know. Well, this morning my check engine light is back on. Yeah, for the same thing I took it in for 2 weeks ago. So, and the fan is on that should not be on, and all these electronics. Honestly, so it's going right back in.
Vehicles.
And almost nobody can fix it anymore. The guy I watched, Scotty Climber, on YouTube. He's got all the computers to hook up to the OBD port. So he plugged in a new Ford Mustang electric, and his computers couldn't read any of it. Nothing. It just said go to the dealer, pretty much. So he is a third party.
You know what,
a
dealer
can't work on it.
Look, a good friend of mine is a mechanic, and he said to me, I asked him a question about another vehicle I had, another Hyundai I had, and he said, look, I'm a mechanic of 30, 40 years. He goes, I can't work on these things. They deliberately made everything electronic. You need a computer reader.
They lock them
reader.
Down. Yep. They lock them down.
Yep. And
they
so
don't
I can't
want anyone
open.
Around with them.
Have you heard the statistic? Say if your vehicle's worth $50,000, or say whatever, say $50,000, which is about normal. The replacement parts for each part would be worth $1 million if you went to replace each part.
I've heard that. That makes sense.
I believe it. I do believe it because just an air filter. Yeah.
But nobody.
They charge $60.
The car, part by part. No. I agree. I know the idea behind it. It's fun. It's kind of funny, but if a third of your car is written off, and say in a collision, then of course you got to get rid of those, scrap the whole thing, because you're not going to build it piece by piece and straighten it. It's not worthwhile. That's just physically would take too many hours and too many parts.
Well, I've worked out.
The whole thing gets crushed.
Built-in obsolescence in every part, basically. Like I look at it this way.
It's built in. Yep. They build them to the average use. Why would you build a car that can last 25 years when most people trade them in every 7? They don't want a 7- and 8-year-old car.
That's right.
Even if it's perfectly functional.
Right.
So why would you put a 25-year lasting fender on it. It doesn't make sense.
Mm. Well, so remember the movie, the light bulb conspiracy movie. That right. tells you
and
everything.
Now we use LED. Well, it's not so much build. Okay. It's just build to use. I look at it. Build to average lifespan. Again, why would you build something that lasts if most people just throw it out anyway? After seven, it's the market that tells the manufacturers what to do, I think. If people say, I don't want the car past 7 years because they figure it's too old or out of style or not as efficient, then build it for 7 years.
I'll tell you an interesting, I worked, one of my jobs I had that I lost thanks to COVID, which was one of the most lucrative. They were an industrial design company, world famous, you know, the stuff that they've come up with. And I used to walk into their garage. They had a huge, big garage under their flash offices. And they'd have it might be a lock that they've designed. And they'd have it wired up to a battery. And it was just, and there was a computer attached to it. And it was going, tick, tick, tick. And they were measuring how many opens and shuts it did before it blew up. So they could, you know, sell it as a, you know, it's got 20,000 or 30,000 opens and shuts. Cycle, and then it's going to break. They knew that, and so they did all these experiments regularly with whatever they came up with. But one of the things I noticed, because it used to be like going into the future, because they were coming up and designing things for the future. They were doing an awful lot of digital Bluetooth front door locks for houses that were opened remotely by your mobile phone. And that feeds right into this future where, you know, you've been a naughty boy and you've been saying nasty things about you go to your house and you can't open the front door of your house because they've turned off your personal number that was opening up your front door has been switched off.
Yeah,
that is happening. These guys were designing software and things for that particular purpose 5 years ago. So, plus they were also doing an awful lot of drone. The United Nations building code will say, no, you have to have a Bluetooth or a chip.
Good luck with that.
A smart chip.
Just leave the back door open.
Well, when they build these apartments everywhere, they will have locking system in them.
Well, that's true. Nothing because you can do about it. You don't probably own the door of your own apartment. I see what you mean.
No. Yeah, and I'm telling you that this company, that world famous, be told, were working on smart locks that were opened by your mobile phone as you got close to the lock up. You know, you've already got. So if when the social credit system comes out and you haven't paid your tax bill or whatever and they decide to switch you off and you go to jump on a train and you can't, like it's already happening in China, we know that, guaranteed.
Yeah.
And starting to happen here, they will soon be able to have you switch, you won't be able to get into your own apartment if you're living in a smart apartment block. And
So you won't be able to spend your money. Sleeping. You won't be able to do anything.
Keep a sleeping bag.
You'll be paralyzed.
I haven't listened to the show, but what is Tiago saying about Bitcoin? Is it going down to $9,000 or?
Yeah, we really didn't do a lot of financial talk. We did. He hasn't. We haven't really discussed it. He said, that's his prediction. Okay, that's fine. Oil 200, Bitcoin. 9,000.
I'm a fan. I like his stuff. I like his voice. He's got a good voice and seems pretty trustworthy.
Well, he's going to come back next Thursday, and he changed the name of his Facebook group from something to Died Suddenly. So he puts all the Died Suddenly stories on there, and he has doubled his group number in a week. He doesn't know how it happened. He figures just changing the name made it come up more frequently.
Well, if you Google died suddenly, and you're going to get an awful lot of died suddenlies, be told.
So I started a Facebook group called Unknown Causes because I was just going to copy his model and just put all the stories up where the words are unknown causes.
Mysterious death. Mysterious death or unknown causes.
And I want to see if I can get 20,000 people.
Oh, that'd be good. Died suddenly is a good one, though, because it's definitely, when you read the paper, which I do on Thursdays and Fridays. Mm-hmm.
We really discussed a lot of that kind of material. Uncle Vigilante, Uncle Odd called in to, we wanted to know what can we do with the people we like that keep taking this lethal injection. And that, because Uncle Vigilante's daughters, all of them, they're all injecting themselves. They're all adults. And his oldest one has been sick since March because she keeps shooting up. So he wants to know what to do. And really, we don't really have a good solution. What can you do? Like you said, you can't stop your daughter from vaping, which is horrible. But what if she was injecting this COVID crap?
Well, she already did that to get a job. She said she had to do it. Otherwise, she would have been unemployed in New Zealand. She didn't have a vaccine, and she did it, and she is coughing away. But I put it down to the vaping. So I think she's. Yeah,
but you're right. Maybe it's the booster.
She hasn't had a booster. She took one vaccine that she had to take, and I don't think she's been boosted. And did you see Frank shared the wonderful guy? He looks like a hobbit, but a tall hobbit, if you can imagine that. He does a Bible kind of study on words, word etymology and things like that. And he was saying boost. Well, do look into it. Frank, if you're listening, share it again on live stream. It was that guy. He's a Christian. He's wears a funny hat. He's got a long hair and beard. Looks like right.
He said boosting
the etymology of the word means something to do with control, or there's a word that means, you know, you're signing your life away with boosting, a legal term. I think it's called.
It sounds kind of positive. Legal. It's kind of a positive name, word, isn't it?
Well, if I say boost means you're going to get more, boost. But the actual real word, just like, what was that word? Like that name of that movie, this prestige. And the prestige means trickery, basically. And the most prestigious university is the most trickery university. You know, they teach you trickery.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's
and
fact.
What does the magician say when he does this, when he reveals his trick?
Abracadabra and...
Presto. Isn't that related to prestige?
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. Hey, presto. Yeah. So there you go. So the etymology. And Frank's regular sharer of this particular guy is legal something or other. He looks like he's got long gray hair and a beard. He actually looks
a solutions kind of guy.
No, I don't think so.
Solutions management.
But anyway, that's Mark what's his name from Australia?
That's something else.
Different guy. Solutions empowerment. Completely different. Yeah. But he's good, man. That stuff was fantastic. That kept me sane, I think, in the lockdowns when I saw how much love lied, and banks are lying when they say they can take over, foreclose on your property. And Mark from Solutions Empowerment said, no, they can't. And he's gone into bat for a number of people, and they've actually had their mortgages paid out by the banks because he said that it's illegal what the techniques they're using. I think, you know, Johnny's List sent that amazing, which I still hold to be one of the best exposés of the Club of Rome broadcast they did in Australia in 72, 73, and they someone said, because they were saying, we need to save the planet by, and we need to use stop people spending and using as much electricity. And the interviewer said, well, how on earth are you going to achieve that? Because people want to, turn power on, want to do that. He said, we're going to use the law of the sea and radio signals. This was a scientist from the Club of Rome in 1973 or 74 on Australian TV. Johnny's List, big fucking 10 out of 10 for that discovery. Very, very interesting. Oh, I'm talking to myself again, but I'm pretty good at that. Yeah, Club of Rome, Johnny's List, if you're listening. Sorry, I'm sneezing. Sneezing. I must have COVID-1900. Johnny's List.
Sneezing's okay.
Sneezing's
allowed.
Yeah, well, why not? But the other day I was saying when I was doing the Bay Walk. Sorry, I had to sneeze again. I'm blocking it out using my mute. I sneezed as I was walking because the sun came out behind a cloud, and the sun and sneezing is a thing. I don't know why. And two people spun around.
Oh my god!
To look
They're
at
all
me
worried, huh?
When I sneezed, but this was outside, next to the water, on a beautiful day, blue skies with a few clouds, but yet I was looking. They looked at me like I was some kind of like. Entity. Oh, sorry.
Sneezing is not allowed in the New World Order, that's for sure.
No, you cannot sneeze. Be told, sneezing will not be part of the New World Order. We haven't heard much from Klaus Schwab for a long time.
They're all quiet.
He did it.
It's European vacation. Europe closes in August for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, and you know what? I went to... Paris in August 2003. Yeah. And the only people there, from what I could work out, were people that didn't want to be there. The locals hate it because all the tourists arrive from America and England and South America. So they all go on holiday for August, September. And the attitude I saw given to people from even you went to a train station, if you couldn't speak French and you weren't the attitude was just like, oh, for fuck's sake, they didn't try and be friendly.
Of course.
It was horrific. And even me getting into a taxi, luckily the guy turned around and he said, are you from England? And I said, no, I'm from Australia. And I was someone a Kiwi. I said Kiwi as well. And he said, oh, no problem. He was happy to have me in his cab. There's a very anti-English attitude in France in August if you're there. So I advise anyone to go there in July to go for a holiday, because if they think you're from England...
The best time to go to Europe is September. September, it's not so hot. The crowds are gone. Yeah, I've always heard
September. You're right, 100%. I was there in August. Now, I was only there for...
August can be really hot, and it's really hot there now, I hear, in France.
Well, my God. I mean, when I was in England, it was 38 degrees on average per day. And to me, that's nothing, because I'm, here it can get up to 40-something degrees.
38's off the charts for England.
Oh, yeah. And I was in the subway or the tube. You're listening to Rick talking to himself. I know, with that. That's the break. Rick.
Hi, this is Matty.
This is Maria Laquita.
Mark Manuel.
This is OBF.
Noise level.
Polly Wilson.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Napoleon is still going.
Yeah, good on him. Good on him. I haven't spoken to him for years, but I know he's around. I know he's around somewhere. Listening.
The telegram with his... Star Wars and Wizard of Oz links that he puts every five
I'll say this. There's a big there with particularly the Wizard of Oz. And if you go into the Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. There is an impossibly big coincidence with if you play the movie Wizard of Oz at the same time as you play Dark Side of the Moon. There's an incredible coincidence with a lot of the imagery that you'll see. So I think he's on the money, 100%, to be honest.
He'd like to hear that.
He's heard me say
putting Dark Side of the Moon stuff in the channel.
I'm going to do a thing on Dark Side. What I want to do with the Black Sabbath one, actually, get the actual song, some of the songs that I'm talking about played, so Rollo possibly be able to be a producer. And I think
are you on
do
Telegram,
it
Rick?
No. Not into any. I like Discord because it's easy.
Well, so is Telegram.
So, I do. But when I found out the guy that owned Telegram, member of the World Economic Forum, member of the World Economic
Forum. Yeah, but he's also Russian.
Yeah. Oh, he is. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, it means something. So you for sure. And just remember. No. I think it's only because I've got Discord, and at this present stage, it's manageable, and it's it's good to say. So,
by the way, I've consolidated servers. I had to get off all everyone's server. It was too much notification. So I know I'm.
Yeah, and I got an invite. I got an invite to. And I'm not going to. I'm not into that subject over the into any debating on 9/11. That doesn't interest me at all. Only because I think I've heard and read and seen enough to know that we're looking at a big giant operation of the biggest magnitude. There was a few accidental demises, but you know, when you see the Rockefellers on David Rockefeller on the cover of Time magazine with his little Timex watch set exactly to 9/11 in 68 or 66, to me
Trump is the same way. I posted a video from Trump on 9/11 coincidences going all the way back to when he was a little boy, 33 years old. He was this richy rich real estate guy talking about Manhattan. Where the hell did he come
from? Didn't his father leave him 33?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah, something like that. But, it was one of those.
He's been in, people forget maybe or don't know that he's been in the public eye for a long time when it comes to Manhattan, New York.
Yeah, his
9/11.
His mentor was that kind of Jewish underworld character that used to take him. Cohen, or whatever he calls himself. Yeah, there's photos of him at Club 53 or whatever it's called, or Club. Studio 53 or whatever.
57.
There he is, dressed up in Roman outfit, sparkling gold, with Roy Cohn, raving homosexual gangster.
Love the boys.
He's there grinning away. 30-year-old or 20-something-year-old. And I just thought, come on. And let me just say this. I constantly, this is the biggest problem you've got. If you get into this conspiracy type stuff or, the truth stuff, people do love this Q stuff, sadly, and it has really has
taken off.
Do they?
I don't even know what it is.
Oh, well, it's them saying, Don't worry. Just trust the plan. We're working for you.
Trust the plan. Oh, Trump is so part of the plan. And I'm talking about the planned demolition.
Planned demolition, for sure. Yeah,
100%. Oh, yeah. That's what this video was about, actually.
Yeah. Well, I bumped into a guy at the grocery store the other night, and he's a really interesting guy. He's a ex-musician, 100% on fire with what he knows. But he said, "Have you seen the stuff?" He goes, "Just don't worry." He goes, "Just don't worry because everything's fine. Just, when it happens, just chill out because everything's been controlled by the white hats." And I went, okay, I don't argue. I never argue with anyone anymore. I let their belief, that's their belief, that they believe that everything's been controlled, and that's what he wants to believe. I'm not going to sit there and start arguing the public. But they really have divided the truth movement into halves, guaranteed. So, people that were once, on the money do believe that there's a white hat running around saving us, and they've arrested everyone, and all the people have been put in Guantanamo Bay and executed. And I kid you not, that's what they do believe. They do really believe that. So what do you do? What do you do? Oh, I'm abs muted, so I'll keep talking. Yeah, but so I bump into people that, I have lots in common with, but they really have been swallowed up by this Q thing. So don't think that it's just a nothing burger. It's a big burger. It's a double big burger with cheese melting on the top of it. They really are using the same technique to dumb down the truth movement. Be told, 100%.
Well, they're there to control the truth movement with their nonsense. I suppose that's what it's about.
Yeah, no, that's successfully done, Ab. Look, I don't enter into, if I bump into anyone, and I said, "So how are you going?" And he said, "Yeah." He goes, "So you're seeing what's going on?" He goes, "Just remember," he goes, "it's all controlled." He goes, "Just don't panic. It's all going to happen soon. They've already got it all. They've arrested everyone." And I'm telling you now, they haven't arrested fucking anyone.
What about the FBI thing with Trumpy? I really believe that it's all him. No, it's him. Uh-huh. It's him that's called the FBI. He's orchestrated. And they're kind of implying it that he's the one that called us to come raid the place, yep. So-called raid.
Mar-a-Lago.
So it's all.
I'd love to know what Mar-a-Lago will mean something.
Oh yeah, someone mentioned what it meant. I forget. Well, it means something to something, or Mar a sea. It's something like that. But to me, it's like more of the Russian story, more of the 33,000 emails from Hillary. It's the same, just distracting narrative that goes nowhere and actually has no impact on anything.
All it is what they've done is dug rabbit holes, traps.
Yeah,
all over the place, and so that meaningless. And his good friend of mine, he is convinced. He's convinced that they've already arrested everyone that's been done us wrong.
Please.
And but I'm telling you, this is what he. So I don't get into. Stand on, arguments with people with the subject anymore. It's like religion. It is a religion. Yeah. It is a religion for sure. And
religion and nonsense.
So if you're an experienced conspiracy theorist, as I am, you've already read that the same technique was used in Russia, and after the Bolsheviks took it over, they used the same technique to, for 7 years or whatever it was.
And every Russian, after a while, knew they were lying. Not one person believed on the street.
And the interesting thing is, the Chinese are so used to being lied to by their media that in China, what they do is they just say, okay, and they nod their head, when they listen to the news, but they know it's total bullshit. It's fabricated bullshit. It's the opposite of whatever the government
says. We're
going to
get to that point, aren't we? Our population will get to that point.
Oh, it's very close to the on its way. Hmm. Well, no, we
you
are.
And I are already we there. Are. But what about the rest?
Yeah. And so from now on, every time I watch a movie, every time I watch a TV show, every time I open up a newspaper, if I do bother, which I don't do, I don't pay for newspapers, I'll go to a cafe and I sit there and I know that what I'm reading is the opposite of what's actually happening. And I believe that the Chinese public already know that and that they just keep it to themselves, that, you know, whatever the government, the feedback is telling us, don't, but it's the opposite. And so they don't say anything. Like the Russians were the same. They put up with it for many years. We're getting it
East
now.
East Germans, yeah.
Yeah, East Germans for sure. Absolutely, for sure. And you're getting lied to on mainstream media. Everything that you read is just another agenda. There's an agenda behind it. And at the moment, in Australian newspapers, it's basically climate agenda. We're going to put in more spinning, wind towers everywhere. We're going to put them out at sea. Now, at the moment, they're going to put giant wind towers at sea. And it's going to create so like much England. Employment. We know it's a fucking hoax.
Everyone's going to be a windmill work. Technician that services
in the future.
Give me a break.
It is.
I was going to ask you what's happening in Australia. Same thing.
And it's what they're doing is going on about the climate agreements and climate this, climate that. So United Nations is running the show, be told. There's no one else coming up with this shit. Go back and look at who founded the United Nations, who gave them the land to put those offices there.
Rockefeller.
Same thing. Who controlled the alcohol prohibition? Rockefellers. Who made the money? Kennedys and Rothmans. The offshoots of the Rockefellers. Yeah. So, as a conspiracy theorist, I would say we're on the money when we say Rockefeller. Be told, don't trust them.
Oh, now they control the healthcare system.
They do, 100%. And then, mysteriously, Arabia is owning all our private healthcare system. Now, the Arabs in Arabia, is it Arabia? What's the name of that country? But they're run by the English. Saudi Arabia is run by the English. And so, if you've got a bit of money and you go for a holiday in England and you go to a hotel in England, you'll be surrounded by burqa wearing Saudi Arabians that own that hotel, because they've done the deal with the British back in the 30s and 40s via, the Lawrence of Arabia, who was a spy for the British government. They went in there, they infiltrated that part of the Middle East, took over, created their own little Israel that was totally stage managed, and now those people have become extremely wealthy and are now taking over all the hotels in Britain. So there is a there with any of the big conspiracy theories, you know, that say that the Rockefellers and the British MI6 and are running things. Yes, they are, guaranteed. The music's run.
Yeah.
The fuel systems are run.
Well, the manufacturing big controversy is run. In golf, I don't know if you follow golf, but they have created a breakaway league of golfers, and allegedly it's all sponsored by Saudi Arabia.
Arabia.
So they're saying, here we go again with,
same thing.
They're this nasty bunch of Arabs that have human rights abuses, etc. You can't, and all these golfers are going away from the PGA and going to this new league, and they're just going for the money. Well, yeah. Okay. So what? Saudi Arabia? Oh, they bring up 9/11. They were Saudi hijackers. They go on and on.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder how much Saudi Arabia is just a Potemkin village. D- Do you think even any of these places exist?
No, they don't. Certain families probably got some cash, but I'm telling you now, Saudi Arabia is 100% set up by the OSS MI6 back in the 1940s, and the band, the police run by the Stuart Copeland's uncle and his father were both heavily involved in running that, and then. If you take a generation back and go to T. Lawrence, who had a strange motorcycle accident and died, you know, he got probably whacked, you know, because they just don't like their, you know, it's covering up your tracks. So T.E. Lawrence got killed in a suspicious motorcycle accident after he did his work expertly done. I mean, he could speak all the different dialects of Arabia. He was there monitoring phones, doing this. They made the movie, a Hollywood version of Lawrence of Arabia, 100% bullshit, guaranteed. That, you know, there he is riding around the hall, saving the poor Arabs. You know, then look at Israel. Israel, you know, the founders of Israel said, we have created a... what was the one they created in Ireland? In Northern Ireland, they did the same thing. They create a mini version of whatever they did. Every country they invade, they cut it in half and then create, say, two different opposite sides. So in India, they created Pakistan and India, and same people running both sides. Keep everyone divided. Then they use sport. Sport is the next biggest thing, and then music after that to control the masses. And, you know, that's a full circle going back to Black Sabbath and Beatles and Pink Floyd.
Sport is huge. I never understood this cult mentality about following sports teams. That I always passed me by. I always missed that. I just didn't get it.
No, the fact is, Ab, we're lucky that we're not into it, because the people that are into it are completely bamboozled and brainwashed. And one of my sons, he loves sport. He loves it. It's his whole thing. And he tries to talk to me about it, and I'm like, it's like him. He's speaking a different language to me. I do humour him and, you know, the A's with him, but I hate sport. I've never liked sport. I sensed it was part of a agenda many years ago when the school I went to, which was a good school, was a rowing school, and that they were offering basically all your awards and all, everything you needed to pass to go to university would be given to you if you stayed and rowed or played rugby for that school. You'd be given your any exam you did would be passed, guaranteed. And it was a thing. So I sensed that schooling and academia was part of the sport rot, you know. And sadly, I was 100% right. 100% right. Anyway, I need to go soon, Mr. Ab. So I've sent you a great song to finish with. And this is.
I admit you are very timely. You stick to a schedule. I'm in the same place on the highway every time you say that. It's funny. You keep to a schedule.
Yeah, no, well, you know, I've got to take...
You have a sleep schedule, I imagine, right?
Well, yeah, but I've got to take two... you're listening,
break,
looking at.
Avin Rick, after my break. Segment. I'm asking alone now. I'm really glad to see no
one else around. I'm asking it. You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Wear a mask inside your home.
100%. Media beer, very good stuff.
Another
good
fraud.
Stuff.
Yeah. Deborah Burks, another fraud.
I'm telling you now, we are in the pointy end of the end days. I'm telling you, I do believe. Because everything I thought was going to happen is actually happening now. It just didn't happen when I thought it was going to happen in 1982. So took a
well, you know, yeah, I actually years. Had a good clip that I got out of an audio yesterday. And John Manley was just saying that we're in an infodemic. And what happened is I think they had to pull the trigger on COVID because all the info that the elites have is out there and we can access it. So that's their power yes. base. And if we know what they know and we know the emperor has no clothes, we can spread the word, it's game over yep. for them. So they have to lock society down. They have to put the genie, they're trying to shove the genie of information back into the bottle. It's not going to yep. work, and but that's what they have to do. They have to lock it down and lock us yep. down and yep. put us under strict control because there's too many people like you to know what's going on and you're talking and you're a problem.
Yes, absolutely. And 20 years ago, I read an interview with a... it was someone involved with the Tavistock and stuff like that. And they'd said he'd been the most vocal advocate to say, do not let the internet come out because they're going to find out what we're up to. And yeah. he was told, they want this. They want the information overload to go. And that's
well,
where we are getting information.
They need the tool for their evil devices, but they know it has two sides. So they need yeah. it for their side, but they need to lock us out of our side of it. So we all, they're doing their damnedest. So they need, because the synchronization of COVID around the world has been awesome. Like your guy yeah. saying the same thing as our guy, same guy yeah. is over there.
Yeah, and people are waking up.
It's all
well look at, yeah, there's so many people I know that are now interested. Theory because of COVID, and they've woken up yeah. and go, hang on a minute, you know, this doesn't make sense. So the guy that was arguing against it 20 or 30 years ago was right. He said, this could backfire on us. Don't let it happen.
Yeah.
Do not allow the internet to get, but they did. But I do believe it's information overload. So we've got so much,
well,
and even myself, and I can't.
They flood the zone. Yeah, yeah. and you're overloaded.
I've got too much.
Withdraw.
Yeah.
So you withdraw,
yeah.
don't you?
And the, yeah, I have.
You turtle.
Because.
You turtle.
Yeah, because I've got.
Had enough.
Yeah, no, it's because I've had enough because I've been listening to the same thing for too many years and it's happening, but people are still rejecting it. Yet, it is waking people up. So. They know they have a certain finite time, and that's why I was saying Klaus Schwab was at a meeting with the United Nations when they've said we need to roll this back, not 2030 to 2027 or 2026 or 2025. I'm not sure what they're figuring out, but they yeah. know that the time is so crucial that they need yeah. to get us, you know, can bamboozle.
Just need to speed it up because... Yeah, it's a race between the Great Apocalypse, the Awakening, and the Great Reset.
The Awakening.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100% guaranteed. Anyway, another – look, I always enjoy this. Oh, look, this is where my favorite show for sure.
This is a great show. The Rick
yeah,
Show.
Rick and Ab, guaranteed. No. Rick and Ab. And you're do play that. Play that out. Yeah.
Rust Ballard
and it's Rust.
Is that it?
Yep, and you will enjoy it, be told, guaranteed.
I've never 100%. Heard of any of this guy, so I
check,
don't know anything
check it
about
out.
It.
So he wrote most of Kiss's songs and most of Argent's songs. Mm, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But it sounds like Pink Floyd, but it's not, be told.
Isn't that
good
amazing?
Song. Okay. All right, yeah. Good night, Ab.
All right, I'll play another it. Great have show. A great night. Yeah, very good. Excellent.
You too.
We have
we'll
four shows
again.
In the can yep. that we got to get out. And tonight this afternoon I'm interviewing Sanity for Sweden again. We're just going to talk about Sweden.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
He's a bit of a normie, but he's a great guy. And he does these videos every single day almost. And just, I just like his commentary.
Yeah.
So
I love the Swedes. And if there's any Swedish from, come over.
Any Swedish?
House.
Wow, Swedes in Australia. Look Rick up. All right. Thank you, Rick.
Do yourself a favor.
inside there.